Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today we read our first Passion account for the season of Lent. And as Pastor mentioned last week on Ash Wednesday, dust we are and to dust we shall return. And because of that, during Lent we reflect on Christ's purpose for coming to earth, to die for our sins in our place. Within our Passion reading, there are many things that we could talk about. There's a lot packed into this reading, but we'll only be able to highlight a few tonight. Most importantly is the purpose of Christ and His focus, and the focus of the disciples and our focus as sinful humans. And in turn, these things will show us the difference between who we are and who Christ is. And it's appropriate to reflect on this during Lent, to reflect on the differences between sinful man and sinless God. Because it's God Himself who comes into this world as man in order to become sin in our place. That's the plan of God. That's God's will. We know this, but we also hear it from Christ Himself in our Passion account. Jesus said to His disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." This time for the disciples, it's the Passover, which is quickly approaching, and the imminent death of Christ. And He explicitly explains this to them. For us today, it's the season of Lent and the quickly approaching Good Friday that we wait for. We reflect on Christ's suffering during this time as He takes upon Himself all sin of mankind. He does this in order to give us His righteousness, the great reversal. So we pray to the Lord to keep us from sin, to bring us through this suffering that we endure in this life. Because it's through the suffering of Christ that He endured, which brings us to the next life with the Father. So as the Jews and the disciples prepared for this customary sacrifice of the Passover lamb, Jesus Himself prepares to be sacrificed as the Passover lamb. Jesus eats this celebratory meal with His disciples, explaining to them and summarizing all the things that He has said during His ministry, teaching them that He will not eat of this meal again until its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. That means that this is the marriage feast between Christ and the church. Christ will not eat of this feast until all things have been completed, until all things have been fulfilled, which is fulfilled on the cross and when we hear the word of God, and when we enter heaven with all of God's people. But as Jesus eats this meal with His disciples, and He summarizes all these things, He teaches them one last time. And as He teaches them one last time, a dispute arises among the disciples. A dispute arises concerning who among them is the greatest, who among them is the best. That sounds ridiculous. As the disciples eat this last meal with Christ for the last time, they're arguing with themselves about who is the greatest. How foolish and how selfish could the disciples be? But that's our reality. We're not any better than the disciples. If anything, we're just like them, if not worse. Because we live in the time after the resurrection of the Christ. We've seen the will of the Father through the reading of the Word and hearing it, and yet we still fall into sin. We still desire to be the best. We've seen the one who rules become the one who serves, and yet we still desire to rule. We are the ones who desire power. We desire to be the greatest, and the truth is we can't do anything on our own. This is why we fast, and this is why we pray during Lent, as a time to rely and reflect on the Lord as the only giver and sustainer of life, because it's not about us. The hymn we just sang petitions the Lord to give us this balm and this healing, which can only be found in His holy wounds. We fast and we pray during Lent so that we can reflect on those wounds of Christ. We reflect on those wounds of Christ so that if there comes an hour where we have any ache of body or mind, or that we are tempted to sin, we know that Christ has overcome. Therefore, with faith in Christ, we need not fall into sin. During Lent, we meditate on the Word of God. We grow stronger in our faith and our spiritual discipline, because Christ has granted us this healing. He's given us this balm for all the sufferings that we have in this world through His death on the cross. And this healing is given to us in the word that we hear, which gives us faith. This healing is given to us in the sacrament, the Lord's Supper and baptism, which delivers to us forgiveness, which flows from the cross. We've been baptized, forgiven, washed clean, and born again. A new creation, a new family, God's family. And as Christ witnesses to His disciples and teaches them about servanthood, He teaches them another lesson. He washes His disciples' feet, serving them. But Peter refuses, and Christ responds. Christ says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." But Peter replies, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answers, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean." Christ washes His disciples' feet in order so that they can be with Him. We have been washed through baptism. Our whole bodies have been made clean. We've been made a new creation, brought into the family of God. And while we are children of God, we often need to be forgiven. Allowing Christ to wash our feet is receiving that forgiveness given to us in the Word and the sacrament. Christ serves His disciples that night by washing their feet. Christ serves His disciples and us by dying on the cross, washing us through the forgiveness of sins. And this is something that is done constantly. We're constantly forgiven. We need that balm and that healing of forgiveness, because that forgiveness is what sustains us in this body and this life. During Lent, we learn that Christ suffers in our place. During Lent, we learn that Christ serves us through the forgiveness of sins. We learn that when we're tempted, and we're tempted often, that's why we fast and we pray. We ask that the Lord grants us strength to overcome these temptations, which can only be done with faith in Christ, with our eyes fixed on Him, knowing He is the only one who can overcome. It's because the Lord has seen the world that we live in and knows there's no one to redeem His people except Himself. So He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and to endure what we can't. Christ is tempted. He's beaten. He's insulted. He's even put to death. During Lent, we solemnly acknowledge that the suffering that Christ goes through is our own faults. So we pray for mercy. We pray for mercy from the Lord that He sustains us in our time of sorrow, in our time of wandering in the wilderness here on this earth. And He does that through His Son every time we hear His word and we receive His sacrament. It's through the forgiveness of sin. Just like our hymn that we just sang, "Jesus, grant that balm and healing. In Your holy wounds I find every hour that I'm feeling pains of body and of mind. Should some evil thought within me tempt my treacherous heart to sin, show the peril and from sinning, keep me from its beginning. This is what Lent is all about. So keep praying and keep fasting so that the Lord grants us that forgiveness that He's already done and completed through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus in life everlasting. Amen.
Page 231, Canticle of the Magnificat.